Morning. The book of Acts opens with the account of the ascension of Jesus and the promise of the Holy Spirit. The book builds and shows some of the transitions within the early church, including the installation of Matthias as the 12th apostle to replace Judas, which they accomplished by casting lots, with the stipulation that in order to be qualified, one had to have been a follower of Jesus from the time of his baptism by John the Baptist until his ascension. It then describes their use of the Holy Spirit by way of speaking in tongues at the day of Pentecost, and Peter's speech declaring Jesus' resurrection and ascension to the heavens. After that, as the chapters progress, we read of the great signs and wonders that began converting the masses. We read of their arrest, imprisonment, and miraculous freedom. How they were beaten for bearing witness to Jesus and proclaiming him as Christ and Savior. Preaching of repentance and forgiveness of sins. Then there was the stoning of Stephen, witnessed by Saul, who the scripture says approved of the stoning, and who then began his persecution of the followers of Jesus. It says, entering house after house and dragging off men and women to prison. The chapters then describe his conversion and his immediate change to proclaiming Jesus. And then comes Peter's vision and his subsequent sharing of the good news with the Gentiles. And then the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out on the Gentiles and their baptism in the name of Jesus. This causing grief within the church because of his spending time with the uncircumcised, which leads him to recount his vision to the brothers. Next, the account tells of King Herod killing James and arresting Peter, who was arrested and released by an angel of the Lord, his chains falling off. And then Saul is called Paul, and both he and Barnabas were sent to Antioch. They first preached at the synagogue, and many of the Jews believed, until the next Sabbath, when a crowd mixed with Jew and Gentile alike was gathered, and they became jealous and began to contradict the message. Paul and Barnabas then tell the Jews gathered that it was important to them to be told of the good news first, but that their resistance to it now made necessary to have it be told to the Gentiles as well. They then travel through Iconium and Lystra, and eventually some of the Jews, stirred to anger in Antioch and Iconium, catch up to them at Lystra, and persuade the crowd there to stone them. They drug him out of the city, thinking him dead, but he got up the next day, went back into the city, and both he and Barnabas went to Derbe. Then back the way they came, through Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and appointing elders in the churches there. This brief summary brings us to chapter 15. The turning point of the book, if you will, where they have to set the record straight for some that were following them, teaching, but distorting the message in order to favor Jewish tradition. After chapter 15, the book focuses more on the journey of Paul and his companions, but I'd like to go ahead and read this chapter, chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others that were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversation of the Gentile, the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins. I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues. Then it seemed good to the apostles and the elders with the whole church to choose men from among them and send them to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. They sent Judas, called Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brothers, with the following letter: The brothers, both the apostles and the elders, to the brothers who are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, greetings. Since we have heard that some persons have gone out from us and troubled you with words, unsettling your minds, although we gave them no instructions, it seemed good to us, having come to one accord, to choose men and send them to you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who themselves will tell you the same things by word of mouth. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols and from blood and from what has been strangled and from sexual immorality. If you keep these things, you will do well. Farewell." So when they were sent off, they went down to Antioch, and having gathered the congregation together, they delivered the letter. And when they had read it, they rejoiced because of its encouragement. And Judas and Silas, who were themselves prophets, encouraged and strengthened the brothers with many words. And after they had spent some time, they were sent off in peace by the brothers to those who had sent them. But Paul and Barnabas remained in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brothers in every city where we proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." Now Barnabas wanted to take with them, John called Mark. But Paul thought best not to take with them the one who had withdrawn from them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And there arose a sharp disagreement, so that they separated from each other. Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and departed, having been commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. This chapter in particular is interesting for many reasons. It is interesting to see how the apostles and other early church leaders set out to settle this doctrinal discrepancy. First, they noticed that there were different things being taught by believers and followers of Jesus. This shows us that not by itself is it wrong to have differences of opinion or even some differences in teaching. However, they did not simply allow the differences to occur and continue. They met, debated, discussed it at length, and came to a consensus among themselves and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that in these things, speaking of traditions of the old law, these were not required of the new believers. It is interesting, too, that the council comprised of the apostles and elders who could send out a hard line of requirement, instead takes a tone of gentle instruction. Those who wanted to follow portions of the old law, perhaps eating a kosher diet or circumcision, it appears were allowed to continue to do so. We could put this in the column of things that would be allowed but not required. They did, however, give four requirements, which would be the foundational expectations for Gentiles coming to the faith. These principles were rooted in Leviticus chapter 17 and 18, nearly word for word, on expectations of Gentiles who were sojourning with the Israelites at the time, and what their expectations would have been to be allowed to do so. Which lends point to the fact that the old law, though it is no longer required, some of its guiding principles hold weight in regard to matters of conduct and conscience. The council closed their letter saying that if you abstain from these things, you will do well. Saying, in effect, that in order to live in harmony with the Jewish believers, these are the things that they would need to adhere to. The church, across all time, is made up of simple people. And the idea of trying to live in harmony with our brothers and sisters is as valuable today as it has always been. And we would do well to work toward that still, to seek guidance from the Holy Spirit in that regard. These passages also show us that answers to difficult questions will not always be placed before us. If this had been a question of salvation, Jesus surely would have given explicit instruction on the matter, as he had with belief and baptism. However, it was left to them to search and earnestly seek the right answer. And this also exemplifies the difficulty people have with giving up past beliefs, traditions, or actions. Becoming a Christian, particularly if you have a significant portion of your life behind you, does require change, and not all of that change will be comfortable. Continuing to be a faithful Christian will challenge you to look at your life and consider your next best steps, and to include the Holy Spirit in that process. At times, this may not be comfortable. It even shows us that we may have differences of opinion that cause us to go separate ways from people that we love. This may not be comfortable. Of course, the book in its entirety shows of many discomforts, even to the point of death, that some of the early followers endured. However, we are not called to be comfortable, but we are called. The call is to believe, the call is to be baptized, and the call is to follow the teachings of Jesus. If you haven't yet, and you feel compelled to answer that call, or need encouragement with your walk with Jesus, please come forward and let that be known as we stand and sing together.